Well, good morning. So great to see so many people out this Sunday. I really hope you all come back next Sunday too, right? I know it's Father's Day and baptismal service and special occasion and everything like that, but I got to tell you, every Sunday here is a special occasion. So it's good to see so many wonderful faces, and happy Father's Day to all of the fathers in the house. Yeah, let's give them a clap. Come on. I was thinking, you know, the only thing that could really make a Father's Day really special would be if we all just canceled service now and we went down to the Newcastle house and had, like, you know, bacon and eggs and all those kind of things. That would be wonderful for the dads. But we weren't expecting this many fathers out this morning, and so we cut our budget back a little bit. But we're going to do Dad's Root Beer and Mr. Biggs. So it's a way to finish off this morning service. And so following the baptismal service at the back table, there'll be a couple lovely ladies back there. And so all of the fathers or soon-to-be fathers in the house, please make sure you pick up your chocolate bar and your Dad's Root Beer on the way out and enjoy that on the way home. Again, Pastor Steph mentioned, you know, not normally we have this hot tub. We were debating too, the ladies and men, I guess, that come in here on Monday mornings for prayer said, you know what, Pastor Trevor, prayer always goes better with a hot tub. And so I'm trying to debate whether we just leave it up one more day for them, or do we actually empty it following the service. But we'll figure that one out later on too. So a couple weeks ago, we asked the question, why water baptism? Why water baptism? Why do we still go through with this tradition or emphasize the symbolic act and once somebody has committed their lives to Christ, to Jesus? Why do we literally go about dunking people under the water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? It just seems to be a little bit odd, wouldn't you say? Little counterculture, maybe? Like, I mean, what kind of a cult does that is probably the mindset of people who aren't normal with to going to church or understanding the process. Why would somebody go through with that? In Arnprior, at the last church Pastor Steph and I pastored, we actually wondered that about a church. They were doing a water baptismal service down at the lakefront, and as you all know, we used to do them down here in Lake Ontario as well, but now it's just really, really cold and really, really gross, and so that's why we thought we'd go with the hot tub. But this crew from Arnprior, they came down waving their huge banners and singing their songs and having a great old time, and Pastor Steph and I mean, we're saved, but we thought they were crazy, and we were thinking, man, I'm glad we're not the pastors of that church in that moment, because I'm not sure it was being a really good witness to everybody else who was scratching their heads at the same point in time what was going on. Not that we're opposed to banners, but maybe inside the church, I don't know, outside the church in the middle of a park, that was that pushes me a little over my comfort zone. Anyway, I'm sorry if you are one of the flaggers that enjoy doing that. A little too much, yeah. Cheryl, I'll have them all to the car next Sunday. But anyway, we asked the question, why water baptism? Why do we go through this? And yet, according to the very words of Jesus, according to the words of Jesus Christ himself, in Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That was one of the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. One of his last words. That was his mission. That's what he wanted to leave his followers with. And during that message a few weeks back, we broke that command of Jesus down to three simple steps. Get saved, get baptized, get into a church. That's really what it was, right? And then we probably could have added one more to that, go out and make more disciples, right? So that's what he said in those verses. Go out, make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and then teach them to obey everything I commanded. That's the get into church part. Get saved, get baptized, and get into church, and then go out and make more disciples and do the same. But the focal point of that message was that Jesus says baptism is important in the life of his followers. It's important. And so this morning, there's a number of people here that have chosen to take the step in their journey with God and by submitting themselves to his desire that we be baptized. Now, for those who missed it, baptism does symbolize a few things. It's not just dunking people in water and yay, you did it. There's actually a symbolic reason why we do that. It symbolizes it acts kind of like a statement of faith. It's saying, I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that he was resurrected for my justification, or what justification means to make us right with God. That's what Jesus did. It symbolizes our union with Christ. It symbolizes us being buried with Christ, going under the water, being washed, being made clean or sanctified, and then coming up, being resurrected as a pure individual, even though we all know that physically speaking on this earth, we're still going to be sinners. It's symbolic. And so that's what we're going to be doing today. And we're going to be celebrating with those who are going to be journeying through the water, so to speak. But for me, there's another important aspect to why we chose this day. Other than just water baptism, there's a reason why we chose Father's Day of all days for this church ordinance to occur. And that's because, to be honest, I think it puts a smile on our Heavenly Father's face. And so I wanted to make this Father's Day an important day, not just for the fathers down here, but for our Heavenly Father up there. And I'm going to tell you why. Because no matter how old or young you are in this room today, if you've put your faith in Christ, then you're a child of God. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26, 27, and 29 says this, "You are all children of God through faith in Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Or how about Galatians 4, verses 6 to 7? "Because you are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba Father," that's Daddy Father. "So you're no longer a slave, but a son or daughter, and since you are a son or daughter, God has made you also an heir." It's beautiful, isn't it? We're sons and daughters. You know, as a son, one of the things that I have always chased after was the approval of my dad. It's one of the things I always wanted was the approval of my earthly father. And I would love it when he would show up at my football games and when he would show up at my baseball games, or when I'd go hunting and get the big buck or shot a bunch of ducks or whatever I could do that would make me feel like my father was proud of me. And so I would chase after those things. I wanted him to be proud in my choice of a spouse, which he is. And I wanted him to be proud of my family and my kids, which he is, and my relationship with God, and just overall proud and how I turned out, knowing that I'm not perfect, knowing that I didn't do everything right and get everything the way that it maybe necessarily should have been, but I've always wanted him to be proud of who I am. And I know I'm not the only one like this. Right, I'm sure if I was to ask the question, there would be many people in this room today, male or female, that would say, you know what, I just always wanted to make my father proud. It was like the most important thing to me. I just wanted my father to be proud of me and who I was. There's just something within us as sons and daughters that long for our father's approval. And so as a dad myself, I want to be that kind of a father to my kids, and I want to be that dad that's there for them, to bless them, to encourage them, to say to them, listen, son or daughter, I'm proud of you. Well done. Great job. Let's go get some ice cream, you know. I want to be that kind of dad. Yet if I was to be honest this morning, for me, that's as easy as it sounds, and as much as that's my desire, at times it's hard for me to do. And so I've set that out as my parenting goal for this year. That's my goal for this year, and that's what I'm going to be working on as a dad this year. And I would recommend you dads in the house to kind of do the same thing. Choose one goal. If we choose too many, we won't accomplish anything. We know that. But if we could choose one goal, one thing that we can work towards and make it specific. In fact, if something comes to your mind, write it down, right? So you don't forget it, because that's the other thing that a lot of dads do. We forget. And if you don't get it perfect, which we won't, right? Wives and children, don't go nagging us when we fail. But men, just keep trying. And hopefully we will create a character or habit that can really change our relationships for the better. Now, when I think of our Heavenly Father being proud, my mind goes to one place: obedience. Because obedience signifies respect. And respect is huge for men. How many men know that, right? There was that book that was written, Love and Respect, right? Where women want love, men want to be respected. It's a natural aspect of men in terms of who we are. Men want respect. And I think our Heavenly Father, when you read through Scripture, that's really what He wants as well. He wants respect. In fact, the first commandment that you'll read in Scripture is, "You will have no other gods before me." Nothing is to trump God. That's the first of the Ten Commandments. You will have no other gods before me. Nothing trumps God. Nothing is to take His place. And the reason why God gives us, or gave the Israelites, that command is found in the first part of the verse, where He says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." That's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 to 7. And His whole reasoning for that is that He had the power to bring the Israelites out of bondage. He alone cared enough for them that He chose them to be His own. He delivered them. He protected them. He, in that moment, became their father figure to them. And therefore, He alone deserves to be worshipped and revered. That's what God was saying in that first command. "Have no other gods before me. I'm it. I did this for you. I am choosing you as my people. Sons of Abraham, daughters of Abraham, you are now my sons. You are now my daughters. I am your father." And we can apply that to us this morning as well. He alone has the power to bring us out of bondage. How many know that none other but God can do that? Right? He cared enough for us that He made a way for salvation. He placed upon His Son the wrath of our sin. And Jesus gladly bore it. It was costly. God left the heavenlies, became flesh to give His life, to be cursed on a tree, to hang on the cross. He alone delivers, He alone protects, and He alone deserves to be worshipped and revered. And so He calls us into obedience. You know, there's four things in Scripture. There might be more, but there's at least four things for sure that obedience does. Four things. Number one, it proves our love for Him. Did you know that? When we're obedient to God, to His Word, it proves our love for Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. This is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. It's pretty straightforward. Do you know that by obeying the command to be baptized is evidence of your love for Him this morning? Right? Because this whole thing is ludicrous to the world. It makes no sense to the world. In fact, it might not even make sense to us. For some people, that's why we teach on baptism, because it's not normal in our culture, so we teach on it. This is the meaning behind it. This is why we do it. And so we have an understanding then, and then we can make a decision. Well, do I go forward with it even though I don't really need it? It really has nothing to do with salvation. You can be saved and not be baptized. But I tell you this, you can't walk in obedience and not be baptized, because Jesus calls us to be baptized. It's the second thing. Get saved, get baptized, get in a church. Learn and grow. Number two, it demonstrates our faithfulness to Him. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6 says, "We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands." That's interesting how He worded that. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. "Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did." Isn't that interesting? It's our acts of obedience that tells us that we're in Him. You want to know if you're saved or not? Do you walk in obedience to Christ? That's what that scripture is telling us. Now, He's not telling us that we need to be perfect. But is that our heart's desire? Is that the journey that we're walking? Are we becoming more like Christ? Are we trying in His strength? Hopefully, because in ours, we're going to always mess up. But are we at least trying to walk in obedience to him? Are we loving our neighbors? Right? Are we learning? Are we growing? Are we applying that knowledge to our lives? Are we being forgiving people? Do we extend forgiveness? Do we extend grace? Your act of obedience tells you that you're in him. And so willing to obey is a sign of our faithfulness to God. Number three, it glorifies him in this world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Our obedience glorifies God in this world. I mean, we're to do so many good deeds as followers of Christ that the pagans can't help but thank God for us. Right? Even though they think we do wrong. It's like we mess with their minds. Follow me here. Right? They look at us and say, and I'm sure you've heard this before, out of one side of their mouth they might say, those Christians, man, they're just so intolerant. They're intolerant. They're exclusive. They don't really love the way they say they love. And out of one side of their mouth, they speak that. But according to Scripture, then what they need to see is our good deeds. And so we need to leave them scratching their heads when they see the good deeds that we do towards the people that they think that we're intolerant towards. So if there's a people group out there that the pagans say, pagans, non-believers, okay, let's, whatever. Those Christians are so intolerant of that people group. Well, then let's be people who bless that people group so that then they say they're so intolerant of it. Oh, but wait, look at all the good deeds that they're doing towards these people that we're claiming they're intolerant of. It confuses what they're thinking. And then they can't help but glorify God. Can you imagine what the Muslims would think when they're getting blessed by Christians? And all of a sudden they go, oh, they hate us, they're intolerant, they're this, they're that, they're whatever. And then, oh, but wait, they're such a blessing to us. How can this be? Pick any other religious belief or non-religious belief. Atheism, well, you name it. We aren't to determine who we love because of where they come from or their culture or anything like that. Jesus calls us just to love. He says, love your neighbor. He doesn't say, love your neighbor who does this. Only love your neighbor if they do that. He says, no, just love on your neighbor. Just be that kind of people. See, the Bible actually says that while we were enemies, Jesus came to save us. Aren't we to be like Christ? While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. That's a huge statement. Huge statement. And finally, number four, this one's good because our obedience opens avenues of blessings for us. It's John chapter 13, verse 17. It says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Now, Jesus was speaking in regards to serving one another here. Okay, that in context of the scripture, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about serving one another. But again, how many know servanthood was a command of God? And all of this comes from obedience. And you know, when Jesus was baptized, the Heavenly Father said something that was pretty cool. And I want to take a moment and look at that this morning before we have our actual baptismal service. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Right? It's just Matthew 3, 13 to 17. If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. I'm going to read it for you. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. You know, if you were to look at John as an individual, he was a pretty humble man. He had to be, right? How many know it takes somebody pretty special to live in the desert, to wear clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, eating locust and wild honey, right? That takes a pretty special guy. I don't mean special in, you know, right? It's just a pretty humble man. Pretty humble, right? It doesn't sound like he's very prideful to me. And yet, he was the most popular Baptist of his day. Baptizer. Right? They weren't denominations back then. He was a baptized. He was the most popular one. This guy had the lineups. He had the people that would come to him in droves wanting to be baptized. And when John saw Jesus coming to be baptized, this guy who is not prideful, right, even though he had the huge lineups, his first thought was, well, Jesus, I should not be baptizing you. You should actually be baptizing me. We need to reverse this role here. Now, John recognized that Jesus was a righteous man. John recognized that Jesus was even more righteous than himself. In fact, John says, I need to be baptized by you. And so we can understand why he thought the role should be reversed. Jesus was a rabbi. Jesus was a great teacher, or that's how he was at least viewed by the culture of his day. Since the age of 12, he could be found in the temple courts listening to the teachers and asking them questions. And did you know that the Bible said that they were amazed at his understanding and at his answers, even at the age of 12? If that's what he was like at the age of 12, imagine what it would have been like when he comes to John some 20-some years later. Yet Jesus goes, no, John. Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Emphasize the now part. Jesus could have been baptized by John months earlier, maybe years earlier. I don't know how long John had been baptizing people in the desert, but let's face it, Jesus could have come at any point in time, just like anybody else, and said, okay, John, go ahead and baptize me. But he goes, no, now is the time, John. Now's the time. Now is the proper time for the purpose of fulfilling righteousness. And when Jesus said that, John stopped arguing. He probably didn't understand, but he didn't argue. And the Bible says as soon as Jesus was baptized, this is verse 16 now, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Who can tell me what happened next? After Jesus was baptized and the Spirit of God came on him, what was the next thing that happened? You won't read it in Matthew. You'd find it in Luke. Sorry? Perfect. Yeah. The Bible says that he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert, where he was tempted for 40 days. He went through a trial period. And then he came out of that desert in what? Does anyone know? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll find that in Acts chapter 4. It's really cool. He gets led into the wilderness to his testing times by the Spirit, but he comes out of that testing point in the power of the Spirit, and then that's when he begins his miracles. Very neat, the difference between the two. Do you know what I believe the baptism signified for Jesus? Really, it was the marking point that began his 3 years of ministry with his disciples on earth. Really, that's where it started. If you wanted to come back to the beginning, it was when he was baptized and Holy Spirit comes upon him and God the Father says, this is my Son whom I'm loved, with him I am well pleased, right? Really, this is where it all begins. And I think that's what Jesus meant when he said to John, by this baptism, I will fulfill all righteousness. See, when you and I get saved and we get baptized to show the world that we said yes to God, we said yes to Jesus. That's really why we get baptized, because we said yes. I said yes. God, I accept your sacrifice. I accept the fact that Jesus died for my sins and he took my sins and he paid the wrath of God so that I wouldn't have to pay the wrath of God. God made this way so that I can have relationship restored with him and in him and through him. I said yes. We said yes to God. We said yes to Jesus. And I think when Jesus got baptized, he obviously wasn't getting baptized for repentance because he had nothing to repent from. I think what he was showing the world was that he was saying yes to God, his heavenly Father. Yes, I will carry through with your mission. Yes, I will take upon myself the sins of the world. Yes, I will take upon myself the wrath for humanity's sins. And yes, I will face death so that humanity can live. And I also think that's why Jesus says, now is the time. When you look through Scripture, when you read through the New, Jesus is always very specific about timing, isn't he? It's time for this. It's time for that. It's not time yet. It's not my time yet. It's time now. He's right on schedule with time. We think God is late. We think Jesus can be late. Even you look at the story of when he was late raising Lazarus from the grave, right? He was intentionally late. What kind of a friend is that, right? Mary and Martha, they were all, Jesus, if you only had been here, he never would have died, and now he's dead, and blah, blah, blah. And Jesus goes, don't worry, I'm right on time. It's all about time. And so when he says to John, now is the proper time, he means now is the proper time. There's a reason why we've got to go ahead and do this now, John. And it's so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. Everything Jesus did was in the exact timing of the Father. He commits himself to God's will. Holy Spirit comes upon him, and off he goes to the wilderness for temptation. It was all about obedience. I think Jesus knew his temptation was coming. I think Jesus knew that he was going to need Holy Spirit in order to make it through that temptation. And I think Jesus knew that he needed to say to God the Father, I'm all in. And he stayed with that all in. Not just when he came to earth as a little baby, but all through his life. And then when things neared the end, those 3 years heading towards his crucifixion. Okay, God. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and I'm sure most of you know this, Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, I want you to look at God the Father's response to his son's obedience. Jesus gets baptized, Holy Spirit comes down, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Can I tell you this morning that these individuals, there's seven of them this morning, and I'm just going to ask if you guys can just come up and make your way right, and just sit on the front pew there. That would be awesome. Pew, front seats. I went Baptist talking about pews. Front seats. Actually, they're already coming. So, yeah, if anyone has kids in the nursery and you want to grab them, that would be great. So these individuals before us this morning are, I believe, are putting a smile on our Heavenly Father's face, right? This is my son. This is my daughter whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. What a way to celebrate Father's Day. I'm almost wishing I waited and got baptized today. But what a wonderful tribute and honor to our Heavenly Father. To say, yes, God. Okay, I mean, we're all saved. Salvation's one thing. But to be able to say, you know what, Father, I'm going to do something that's a little contrary to our culture, that not everybody understands, that has nothing to do with my salvation, but because you've asked me to do it, I am willing to walk in obedience to you. What a beautiful gift. Can we pray for them this morning? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for those that are going to journey through the water of baptism this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that in their spirit they would sense how proud you are of each and every one of them. Father, that it doesn't matter where they came from. God, it doesn't matter the kind of life they had lived. They are your sons. They are your daughters. And their desire is to make you proud. And so, God, as they take this one step, I pray, Father, that it would be one of many steps to come in their journey with you. Father, as this is the beginning point, I pray that you would unlock spiritually within each one of them, God, more giftings, greater wisdom, greater sense of you and your spirit. Because, Father, your word declares that you honor and you bless obedience. And Father, we know what kind of step this is today. For some, they may have a fear of water. For some, they may have a fear of being in front of people. For some, they may have a fear of speaking, God, yet today they are willing to overcome those things just to be obedient to you. And so, God, I ask that you continue to give them strength, not just for today, but for every day, as they live their lives to glorify you, in Jesus' name. Why don't we give them a quick hand this morning?
Does anyone want to offer to go first? Oh, Troy, come on. So one of the things that Pastor Trevor and I love about being in a small church is that we get to know everybody, and they have different stories and different ways that they came to us. So Troy and Liz have been coming for almost 2 years, right?
2.5 years. Yeah.
And because it'll be 3 years this winter. They actually showed up at Christmas while we took our first ever Christmas vacation. And so thankfully they came back later and we got to meet them, and we've had a great friendship with them. And so we are very excited on his first Father's Day ever to be able to have this moment with Troy.
Troy, why don't you just share with the congregation this morning why you decided to get baptized today?
Okay. Well, I grew up part of a Catholic church and that, and I was baptized as an infant. And I'd always been very adamant that, you know, that's fine that I was baptized and I accepted it at confirmation and that. And when I came here, part of membership was to be submersion baptized. And I was pretty adamant in my mind originally that I shouldn't have to do that and all that sort of thing. And so, you know, God challenged me as always. And I started looking into it and I started reading some of the Greek of it. And to be baptized, baptized is not an English word. It comes from the Greek, baptizo, which means to submerge. And I'm like, man, I can't. Like, I'm like, you can't even, like, argue that one, right? So I figured I'd take this step and show my obedience as Trevor was preaching on today and go for it.
I'm just going to have you stand right up at the front.
Oh, man.
It's okay. Yeah.
There's a splash zone back there. Would you rather I kneel? Would it be easier?
I think you'll be okay.
Okay.
Your knees will automatically.
You're
bend.
The guinea pig.
So yeah, yeah.
You put one hand there, the other hand.
I'm plugging my nose.
Plug your nose. Yeah. Okay. So, Troy.
Just don't splash my aunt, man.
Yeah.
He looks.
Make sure. Upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The good news is our cleaning team also gets a break because the carpet's going to be awesome up here. Sylvia, how about you? Go ahead.
Troy was also the tallest, so.
So while Sylvia gets in the tub, Sylvia feels like, personally, I feel like she's been with us for the entire 5 years that we have been a part of this church, 5.5 years. Sylvia actually came after she came back from her snowbird trip, and it was really just before Easter that you started coming, right? And so I'm going to let Sylvia share a little bit about how she got here to this moment, but it's pretty cool and it's pretty exciting, and to say that I feel blessed to be her friend and her family and to be able to be here in the tub with her today is a serious understatement, because she's one of those people that, like I said, it's been a couple months, and I feel like she's been a part of my life for years, and that's a testament to what God's doing in her life and the quality woman that she is. So, Sylvia, why have you decided to be baptized today?
I actually found God in Florida. I realized he was always a part of my life, but I had never been aware of it. He's been guiding me since I was born. And in Florida, I actually felt that he spoke to me at a very deep, dark time of my life after my husband passed away, and since then I've been on the path towards him. And when I came back to Canada, I found a church and I found this family that makes me feel very humbled and welcomed, and I want to take the final step after this is the final step on my way to the kingdom of God.
And super exciting, because if we can clarify, that was this winter in Florida, right?
Yes.
Was it after Christmas?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Yeah. In January, actually.
In January. So
yes.
From January to June, here we stand.
Here we stand. I have a lot of years to make up for, but I am so willing.
I'm just going to get you to stand up as close as you can. Okay. Upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well done. Well done. Good job.
There is no right or wrong way to go once you get out. Catherine? So, Catherine, we met, actually, I feel like it's crazy, almost 4 years ago. They moved to town, and I guess the first time we met, was it at playgroup or was it at kindergarten orientation?
It
was playgroup.
Easter.
They came out to church, and then out of that started coming to playgroup, and then the really cool thing that happened was, when the kids were in school, Aaron ended up in Aaliyah's class that first year, and then Cameron and Jackson ended up in school together too and have become great friends and in the same class and everything. So our friendship really has kind of spanned through church and school and community and everything else, and she is seriously one of the sweetest people that I know, so kind-hearted, and it is our honor to be here today with you. Yeah, she was Disney princess for quite some time, because we felt like she carried herself a little Cinderella-esque, like it. We kind of felt like there were little birds that would walk behind her, and then we found out she could sing, and we were like, yes, we picked the right name.
Those little birds dressed me and braided my hair this morning. So my story actually is similar to Troy's. I grew up in another church, and I was not baptized, and I thought, well, maybe this is now the time for me to take that next step in my journey. And so here we are.
Just get you to come right up to the front. Yep. One arm across. Oh. Okay. So, Catherine, upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Also, if you would like waterproof makeup, apparently Catherine's the girl, because that stuff didn't budge. Gabriel, can you come up? So we have known Gabriel for approximately 11 and a half years. Obviously, Gabriel is our oldest son, for those of you who don't know, and had a pretty cool moment. Was it a month ago, Gabriel brought his bass to church and practiced on the stage with us. And it's one of those things that as a parent who's a pastor, you know there are going to be pretty cool moments in your kids' lives that you get to be a part of. That wasn't one that I ever saw coming, how full circle it would be to have gone from sitting in church and as a child myself and thinking about worship and then having him on the stage with me as we sang and did worship and everything else, to now, a month later, have the opportunity as his mom and dad and his pastors to baptize him is a pretty cool moment for all of us. And Gabriel is very shy, if you don't know him. He doesn't like to be the center of attention at all. And so we were so proud of him that he confronted that fear to be here today. And we know that that means a lot to him. So Gabriel, this morning, you got to come up to the front so that you don't get the thing on the back of the head. We don't want to clothesline you. Can you share this morning why it is that you have decided to be baptized?
You can do it, bud.
Because it shows I love God.
Good job.
Good job. Okay, you ready? Okay, I'm gonna cross your arms.
Both of them. Perfect.
Do you want to plug your nose?
Okay. So, Gabriel, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good job. Kleenex. Donna. So we actually knew of Donna before we knew Donna. When we moved to Newcastle, Gabriel was in grade one, and Gabriel and her grandson Dylan, they were in the same class. So we kind of met through school that way, and then she ended up coming here, and we got to realize that she has a heart of gold. She is constantly loving on other people, and she might be quiet, but don't let that fool you, because she has 1,000 things going on in there that when she opens up and lets them out, your mind is just blown with her generosity and her kind heart and her wisdom. So Donna, why is it that you have decided to be baptized today?
I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and I think I was just neglectful of doing this out of fear, because I figured people might judge me because I'm gonna continue to mess up. But probably about 3 years ago, God told me to get real, and he told me to find a church and to start to give. And now I need to be baptized to move forward with his purpose for me.
So, Donna, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Argue with me still that it is not that temperature?
It's perfect.
Goosebumps for days.
Warmer than a swimming pool.
So now we get to see the beautiful Nicole is going to come join us. So Nicole is totally awesome.
Thank you.
Not just beautiful. And she started coming with her parents. Do you remember how many years ago that was now?
Dad, I don't know.
4 years ago? Yeah. And so she was kind of, Dad said you were coming, and you came. Yeah, and you could see that at first. But over the last 4 years, we have watched her grow to be not only a beautiful young woman, but to experience God in her own way and to have a relationship with him and develop that and to do all kinds of cool discussions and stuff like that, and to see her really come into her own with her relationship with God. And she also is a woman of very few words most of the time, but once you get her to open up, you realize that she has a lot of awesomeness in there to offer. So Nicole, this morning, would you share with us why you have decided to get baptized today?
I wanted to have a stronger relationship with God.
Very good. Okay.
Okay, ready?
Yeah. So Nicole, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Okay. Oh, no.
You okay?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have swallowed water if I was the first person. That was risky. Jay is Nicole's brother, and much in the same way, Jay came because his parents made the decision that they were going to start coming, and we have been blessed to get to meet Jay. That's probably the most I've ever heard him say. He is the strong and silent type, this guy. But his relationship with God has really come into his own too, and it's been cool to see him interact with the kids in the church and to be in Kids Cafe helping us, and the things that God's showing him and teaching him. And where God is taking him in life, we are very, very excited for the things that lie ahead of him and blessed to be a part of this day. So, Jay, would you mind sharing with us why it is that you've decided to get baptized today?
Just like Nicole, I wanted a stronger relationship with God.
Nice. It's a family thing.
Yeah.
This way?
Yeah. So, Jay, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's them all. In case you feel left out, we will have another water baptismal service probably in the fall. If anybody's interested, feel free to speak with Pastor Steph or myself. And it's something that obviously he thinks it's something that Jesus has called us to do. We are willing to do them almost whenever. And so, but we like to plan it so that it's a little bit special too. So just keep that in mind if you've never been water baptized before, but maybe something that somebody said today spoke to you or one of the previous messages spoke to you, feel free just to come in and, again, talk to one of us about it.
For those of you who have been baptized this morning, I have something in my office for you. So if you can see me before you take off today, I will make sure to get it to you to take home as a keepsake of today.
And everybody else, have a blessed Father's Day, a great week. Don't forget, fathers, to pick up your dad's root beer there in the back, as well as a big chocolate bar. All right? Have a great week, everyone.